Hey, it's Weezone. You're listening to Current Events, Politics, Presidents, and much more with Adam Lept and our official presidentologist, Dr. Ron Feinman, on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor every Monday morning, starting a few minutes after 10, right here on WWGH 107.1.
It's the 22nd of July, and looks like the extreme heat we've had the last few days is going to give us a bit of a breather. Then it's going to warm up again, so I don't really mind cooling down a bit. Of course, when you cool down from 90, 95 degrees, even 80 or 85 seems just a little teeny tiny bit chilly, but it's okay with me, you know. The air conditioner bill, that's going to be a little scary when I have to open that up in a week or two. Adam Lep here, as you heard the weasel announce, for a show we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break, or when Dr. Ron Feinman joins us, like he's doing today, we call it a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Now, he hangs his hat in somewhere where it's summer or at least spring most of the year, and that would be Boca Raton in southern Florida. And we're going to talk about politics, of course, the 126 presidential contenders for the Democrats. Donald
Actually,
Trump.
I'm 28 now because Tom Steyer joins in along with Joe Sestak.
Donald Trump and his silly comment du jour, assorted scandals, and whatever else we can find time for. Of course, there'll be a lot of giggling and wisecracks, and sometimes you're not even sure if what I'm telling you is actually the way that I feel, but we like to leave the floor open for dialogue. Ronald, how are you on this fine Monday morning?
As I said, I'm doing well, and it's hot here, but not as hot as it has been in New York and Washington, D.C., which is interesting. And I guess maybe we tolerate it better because we're near the ocean and we don't have skyscrapers like in Manhattan or tall buildings like in Washington,
D.C. Yeah, I mean,
D.C.'s.
All this, you know, we talked about Jay Inslee and his obsession with climate change. Now, again, I really do like the guy. And again, I almost idolize him for going against the grain, so to speak, and enacting a net neutrality law for his state of Washington, of which he governs. He obviously understands science. He is a bit obsessed with climate change, but climate change is real. I just think it isn't maybe our top issue in this election, but it's good to have someone who does understand it and certainly posing a challenge to the gentleman in the White House. That would be Mr. Donald, of course. But, you know, the climate change, this is the warmest run it had been in central and mid-Ohio in 2 or 3 years. And it gets into the hundreds maybe once a decade. And we just, you know, depends on our listening area. Toward Toledo and Akron, it got closer to the upper 90s. But that's not abnormal. The normal high is 85 or 86 this time of the year. So it's not like it's a tremendous heat wave. But it started out kind of cool in the summer, so it did kind of hit us. And, you know, grass isn't growing too much because instead of having the slightly cool and wet weather, we have this hot, dry weather, although it's supposed to rain today and lower humidity for the next couple days. So, you know, climate, is it changing? Well, I say it probably is. How important is the problem? It's very important, but I think there are other issues we need to also focus on. But of course, climatology is certainly needs to be in the mix. Washington, D.C., where you just got back from, Ron, had a forecast high of 101 over the weekend. I'm not sure if it got that high.
I was lucky when I was there. It was moderate. It was in the 80s, so it was
pretty
bad. Yeah.
Pretty toasty over there. Of course, the hot air from the politicians probably added a degree or two.
Yes.
And they were talking like it was hotter in Washington than it was in Hawaii. Well, Hawaii is tempered by the water, although it certainly is very south. And we had,
as is South Florida.
Yeah, yes. And a few weeks ago, it was like in the 90s in parts of Alaska, which isn't unusual. Alaska has, in many parts, a continental climate like we have here in the Midwest. But, yeah, you were kind of saying, well, climate change, or is it real? Well, I guess we never really will know, but I would say it is. And, again, hopefully our next administration, although maybe not making it as high of a priority as Mr. Inslee was talking about, does put funding and put priority on getting the climate situation, changes in the ozone layer, et cetera, science-oriented issues, putting that something at the front of list of priorities, along with the other biggies, spending, healthcare, the big one, immigration, crime, drugs, and all the other things that those great politicians and not-so-great politicians like to be concerned with. But it's always interesting to follow the weather, and we've seen so much variety here in the Midwest. Kind of a mild winter, then it got cold, and then it was kind of cool and wet late spring, early summer, and then it became kind of like a sauna last week. But we shall see. It always adds to the fun. And, you know, in Florida, it tends to be kind of warm all year round, and that could be good or not good, depending upon how you look at it. But I would say, Ron, you did visit D.C. at the right time before it became a sauna. The traffic.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that during the winter, it does get a little cooler. It actually can have a couple of weeks where it's fairly cool in the 60s. But it's like some January or February, but that's about it. Otherwise, it stays pretty warm.
Yeah, well, it's
in Florida.
Adds to the fun. You know, we like a little variety and surprises. Well, Ron has been on this show many times, dozens and dozens of times, and also multiple times with
more than 100 times over 2 years, yes.
Multiple times with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears, and he is the publisher of a blog that he's been doing for almost 11 years called the
August 11th, it'll be 11 years, yes.
The ProgressiveProfessor.com, which we encourage you to read. Now, Ron's politics.
Yeah, I wanted to mention I've done 6,400 entries as of yesterday. Imagine that in 11 years.
That's quite a bit. Well, anywho, yes. Ron's politics tend to the left. Now, it's a Joe Biden type of left, not a Harris or, God forbid, Sanders type of left. And we've seen, of course, the Democratic Party, and not that the Republican Party isn't really much different. There are really two Democratic parties. There's the party of Sanders and Harris and the party of Biden and some previous Democrats, even Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton from recent memory might be in that category. That is the moderate Democrats who have a platform of fiscal responsibility. But not the socialist mentality of Harris or Warren, also I think, or Sanders on people issues, again, pro-choice, marriage equality, again, environment and science, as we talked about a few minutes ago. Those are important issues where they do see eye to eye, certainly with myself and with Ron, to the left. But it really, the economy and to an extent immigration, that's some of the differences we've seen in the Democratic Party. Whereas Ron's politics, again, like Democrats of a generation ago, I mean, Carter to an extent, Clinton certainly, but both Clintons, and of course Joe Biden and Obama, certainly. Obama was a very favorite president of Ron. You know, my opinions of Obama are very mixed. I do like his gentlemanly approach. I mean, intelligent, he was a law professor. And many things that he did, many things didn't have a lot of control over. And then there were some things I'm not overly pleased with about Obama, but certainly we do give him high marks for acting in a presidential fashion, something which our current president might want to take a lesson or two about.
He wouldn't, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it is, I guess. But anyway, read the ProgressiveProfessor.com. Again, a moderate left viewpoint. I mean, Biden being the closest of the well-known candidates with similar views. But a lot of times he just
talks. I must tell you, by the way, there are people on Facebook that think I'm not a progressive. They say you should change your name because you're not. I'm in their mind, I'm too moderate.
Well,
so I have it on both sides.
I have no other way to say it, Ron. They're wackos. No, you're not Harris and you're not Sanders. And that's what they want. No, they're not going to agree with you because that is not your politics at all. And that's where that definition of progressive, and I've changed my definition. I'd say, well, I'm progressive on things like pro-choice and marriage equality and the environment. No, progressive has become a bad word to me, and liberal I don't like. I don't like the connotation. I don't know how else to say. I don't like left. It's kind of vague. I don't know what word to use. I'm kind of out of words, and progressive seems to have taken over a different meaning. But I can just go view by view, and you know, Ron knows my views on 99% of the issues. So take those views and use whatever word you want. But I don't consider Sanders and Harris to be what you call a progressive. They're socialists. In fact, I even use the C word to describe Sanders from time to time. He's a borderline C word. Let's put it that way. There is kind of a continuum of what you're considered to be in terms of your political philosophy. And as you know, I'm not a fan, but it's interesting to compare his politics and his popularity against the traditional or the old school candidates, and we shall see exactly.
He's losing. support Sanders.
Yeah. Well,
he really is at this point. We're
going to take a look at a poll from BusinessInsider.com, or I guess an assessment, not really a poll, power ranking, who has the best chance of becoming the 2020 Democratic nominee. Some surprises, some people I've never heard of before, and some people that probably kind of expected in the position that they're in. And we'll get to that in a bit. But also, as I was mentioning, Ron, on your blog, you don't just take a political viewpoint or an opinion. You look at presidential history, coincidences, interesting factoids, we say trivia. Help us appreciate the great office of the presidency and other governmental positions. And I've anointed you with the title Presidentologist, as someone who is an expert and aficionado, a guru, maven, what have you, of the presidential office. We have another presidentologist we've talked to a couple times and hope to have him on again multiple times. Author, blogger Mike Purdy, written the book about presidential insults that we've talked about. Someone else again with excellent presidential trivia. His politics aren't quite as obvious as yours, Ron. He would appear to be kind of middle to the left, not quite as left as you, but left of center. Although I think he tries to de-emphasize what his actual politics are. We, of course, talked about Inslee.
I agree with that.
Yeah, when he was on earlier this month. And, yeah, we think he's a bit obsessed with climate change. But we admire that he's very knowledgeable in science. He comes across as a gentleman. He's very smart. Charisma, I think he could work on it a little bit, but I think he's decent. But it would be nice to have a person who is of a scientific mindset in the office, and we shall see what happens when we go to the polls, and that day is coming up sooner every time we talk. So anyway, Ron, in your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, some of these entries are statistical, again, factoids, so to speak, and some are kind of controversial and, out of lack of a better way to say it, are bashing of Mr. Donald Trump, which we know you're not a fan of. On July 19th, you write, Donald Trump, by far the most racist, nativist, and misogynist president in American history, condemned by House of Representatives resolution. I guess that resolution didn't really make it very far, but certainly the fact that it did come up, just like any time someone brings up about impeaching Donald, it makes an impact. Donald Trump has been officially...
Well, it's a resolution, but it's not being taken up by the Senate, so it's just a statement. Yeah.
But even statements are important. So what do people in the Congress think about Donald Trump and his opinion about stuff? Well, he's been officially condemned by the House by a vote of 240 to 187, while four Republicans...
rare historically, by the way. And four Republicans and one independent, Justin Amash, who left the party, did also vote with all Democrats. So there were four Republicans who are probably going to get punished by Trump now for having voted against him.
He was condemned because of his bitter attack on the four, infamous congresswomen. Now, we can know them and know their life history, know what they look like, and know where they're from, more than we seem to know about Donald Trump. But in case you have been living in a cave the last couple months and don't know who these people are, it's Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and I believe she was born in Cleveland, I believe, which is kind of nice, kind of a local connection. AOC, a real, and how many people, Ron, do you think actually know what AOC's name is? They just, oh, it's AOC. It's like FDR.
And it's amazing for a 29-year-old woman, the youngest ever elected to the House, to be having an acronym like LBJ, FDR, and JFK. I think it's really amazing that she's known. They may not know her name, but they know who she is.
How many people do you think could actually give LBJ's first, middle, and last name? You think more than 30% of people actually, you know, let's say even...
Not today, because of lack of knowledge, ignorance. That's true. But to me, it's like automatically, I know what those terms mean, but I'm older. So I guess a lot of people may not even know what those names are. You're right.
But
right?
I would, I interestingly would kind of wonder how many people not only would know it, but could spell it. You know, I love spelling. And certainly spelling, we've seen English issues by our current president. But again, instilled in me by my late great mother, spelling and English punctuation. Fascinating topic, and I find myself more and more fascinated by it. But anyway, AOC, and her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's a nice name. Of New York.
Yes, it's
of the
very
Bronx,
attractive. Nice
the Bronx
woman,
and
you know?
New York City. Rashida Tlaib, I believe that's how it's pronounced, of Michigan.
Yeah.
And Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. So a diverse bunch of female congresspeople and the infamous center-back chants and related utterances. The audience
called the squad, President, the squad, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Ron. The audience listening to Trump came across as white bigots who are racists, nativists, and misogynists, and reminded many of Nazi rallies held by Adolf Hitler in Germany 80 to 85 years ago. One does not have to agree with everything these four women utter and believe, but now there are serious death threats against them, and it is extremely worrisome as to their safety.
Yeah.
And you've made no secret, you're not in agreement with Ms. Omar's opinion on Israel. There's been a lot of controversy about that, and as you know, politically, I'm not a fan of any of those four, but I think the language was very strong and it was rude. Just like respecting the president, even if you don't like him, you should respect all Congress people. They worked hard to get elected, regardless of what I think about those four politics. And again, it's not by any means a positive opinion. I find that it was disrespectful and very unpresidential of Mr. Trump. And
I am concerned there's been more and more death threats against these women and also against ordinary people of color around the country and at bus stops and at stores and other things, incidents that are showing up because people figure if the president does this, why can't I? It's a very bad model for young
people. President should set an example, and he should cool it. There are better ways of saying you don't agree with somebody. Maybe he should take a lesson from both Bushes, from Obama and others who can conduct themselves in a gentlemanly fashion.
And John McCain,
fashion.
Too.
And others. But I don't know. Trump, he doesn't like to listen to others, but he is entertaining. The problem
is that an understatement?
Yeah. When the entertainment becomes something that could be dangerous and make the United States look weak, then it's a different matter altogether.
I'm concerned about violence and assassinations coming of these leaders. I'm very concerned. Back in the 60s, early 70s, we don't want to go through that again.
Let's hope not. Before we get to this poll about, or this article about the presidential candidates for the Democratic side, and we need probably two shows worth, so we'll just do the highlights. We want to pay respects to the recent loss of a great American, Justice John Paul Stevens, longest lived and one of the greatest Supreme Court justices in American history, passed away at 99 years of age. Ron, he's about a generation older than yourself. What are your recollections of Justice John Stevens?
Well, he came on the court as a conservative at the time, appointed by Gerald Ford. I think it's the best thing Gerald Ford ever did in his 2.5 years as president. And he became, however, more liberal as he went on in the years, which is not unusual. There have been other Republican appointments in the past that became more liberal than they started off as. And I had the opportunity to meet him in Boca Raton a year ago, not talk to him personally, but see him as he spoke at a Unitarian church. And he was 98, and he came across very well, and he made clear his dissatisfaction with Brett Kavanaugh at that point because of the debate over Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. And he died at 99 and almost 3 months. And as I said to my son yesterday on the phone, that's the way to go. He was fine. I mean, he was aging, but he was fine. And then he had a stroke, horrible, lasted one day and died. That's the way to go, not to suffer in a hospital for months and years. So at least he had a good life until the last day. And so God bless him.
So Justice Stevens, we salute as a moderate who doesn't mind modifying his views, listening, but still understanding that he's an authority. He's a scholar on the law. And again, somebody that almost everybody, not just politicians, not just the current president, could probably take a few lessons from. And we salute a great legacy of public service. Justice Stevens, a great American we need. Need more people like that, even if you don't agree with their views. And I mentioned death penalty. Well, he and I don't agree on that one, but we agree on gay rights, abortion rights, somewhat on gun control. That's a weird one for me, Ron, because I've been known to change my opinion every day. I think it's like immigration.
That's like Donald Trump, he changes his opinion every day.
Well, I admit it. It's also not something I'm an expert in, but I believe Americans have a right to have weapons. It's which weapons, under what circumstances, what would disqualify you from having a weapon, like your record, your age, et cetera, required education. I'm not really sure. I think it's like immigration. We need to adjust them, modernize them. But in general, yes, you have a right to bear arms, but not just an absolute right. There need to be guidelines. But certainly anybody who has done the very difficult job of being a Supreme Court justice and graduated law school, considered to be such a scholar, as the person who's made our country great. And we do salute that life for sure.
Absolutely.
And as we like to talk about on almost every show, Ron, the Democratic presidential contenders, well, there are so many. We don't want to just list all of them, because then it'll start sounding like American Top 40, and I'll start thinking that I'm Casey Kasem again. So I was, during earlier today, Ron, I read an article, and it came out on last Friday from businessinsider.com. And it appears to, you know, again, not one that just slants left or right. It just kind of gives the facts and lets you make up your decision as an intelligent, educated person. Power ranking. Who has the best chance of becoming the 2020 Democratic presidential nominee? So, with 23 major candidates, we're mainly interested in using the polling to figure out what percentage Democratic voters are familiar with each candidate in the first place, how Democrats rate each candidate's chances of beating the Donald, and if they were to drop out of the race, who their supporters would flock to next. And that's an interesting one. It's like, well, half these people, they don't have any chance at all, but would they flock behind Biden, Harris, Mayor Pete, or decide they don't like any of them and vote for Donald? Well, kind of hard to say. So number 23 is someone who we've heard of, and we like him. You and I both like him, but I don't think he should wrap up his campaign and go back to Congress, and that would be Massachusetts Representative Seth Moulton, polling at 0%.
He's not in either debate. He didn't get in the first one, and he didn't make the second one. He's the one person who's in office who did not make it, and I think it's a shame he should have been allowed in this debate.
But
meanwhile, we have these two outsiders, Marianne Williamson and Andrew Yang, who made both the first and now the second debate, and I don't think it's really fair. Seth Moulton should have been allowed in the debate.
Moulton is someone I wish he were higher. Again, he's like Inslee.
I do
like the guy. You know, he's an American hero. You know, a smart guy with military service. One of his issues would be the PTSD treatment for vets.
He's had PTSD.
And I think
we
can almost never do anything that's enough for our vets. And I like his practical approach. And I wish he were more of a contender. Maybe next time, or maybe he'll get a cabinet position. It's kind of hard to tell. But this guy is appealing. I just don't think he might as well just pack it in, because it's probably not going to happen. But we at least
also from the wrong area of the country, New England, which already has Warren and also Sanders. It's too many from the same area and one from the same state, Warren. Well, so I think that harms him.
New England is a hotbed for Democrats. So we like him and we know about him. We just maybe not even sure why he's not ranking higher, but this doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Now we have...
He also entered late. That didn't help. But Steve Bullock of Montana entered late, but at least he replaced Eric Swalwell, who dropped out. I don't know if he would have been in the next debate in July 30 or 31 if it had not been for Eric Swalwell dropping out, leaving an opening. So he's lucky to be in it, Steve Bullock of Montana.
Well, Joe the Hair Sniffer entered late, but he was well known, so it's a different case.
Well, yes, he's different.
You know, is he number one, number two, number three? Where is Mayor Pete? They're obviously both in the top five, so we'll get to that after we continue to offer suspense. And we have number 22, and this gentleman is 88 years old. And Mike...
and I met him
Mike,
ago.
I guess it's Gravel.
Mike Gravel.
Yeah, not Gravel, but he probably has...
The senator who was at the time of the Pentagon Papers 50 years ago, he was a young senator, but now he's 88. I met him 11 years ago when he was running in 08, not seriously, but he came to Broward College where I was teaching, and I introduced him, and I have a photograph with him from 2008.
Well, you know, I got hats off, Mike. You know, 88 years old, you still want to be president. You never give up, you know? I admire him.
I think
for
he's
that.
To the left of Sanders, though, honestly. He's extreme left. This age, anyway. He really is. Maybe being that old makes you that way. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. He's from Alaska and a senator. Now, the last time we had an Alaskan, of course, that was Sarah Palin, and she almost won the vice presidency, but she's quite to the right, and she's pretty active on social media. I mean, she's a conservative Republican. Nice to
I'm
look
trying to
at.
Think out, why does this poll put him ahead of Seth Moulton? That sounds like an insult to Seth Moulton.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah Palin, you know, nice looking, very good speaker. I think, like Dan, again, she reminds me a lot of Dan Quayle. Nice looking family, young and attractive, more intelligent than she's given credit for. But, you know, not as intelligent as Mayor Pete or Governor Inslee or these other people. Still fairly young. I mean, she's my age, I believe, so I think we may be hearing a little more
from her.
And I'm
saying, why is Seth Moulton behind Mike Gravel? I don't understand a poll that would put him behind him, but he's not in the debates either.
You know, they're both at zero. It's, you know, one, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But Mike Gravel, hats off, Mike. You know, again, I may not be a fan of your politics, but 88 years old, you know, go for it. He makes Sanders look young.
He makes
young.
Sanders and Biden seem young.
There we have
by comparison.
And let's go west. Number 21, Montana Governor Steve Bullock, who entered on
May 14th. Because of Eric Swalwell dropping out, yes. He's someone I think should be given more notice, really.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to have a candidate from a mountain state. Now, granted, Montana doesn't...
He's younger. He's in his 50s. Yeah. He's not an old guy either, which is good.
Montana doesn't have a lot of people, so the electoral votes won't make a tremendous difference. But we like having somebody from that part of the country because it doesn't really provide a lot of candidates. So, again, Bullock, you know, a good man, but I don't think it's going to happen. And we get number 20.
Well, he has to do well in this state. He has to stand out. That's the first thing, yeah.
Going back to the D.C. area, where your son hangs his hat and you recently visited, we have a Maryland representative, former Maryland representative, John Delaney. Again, not a lot of name recognition. Don't really know much about the guy. He was one of five candidates to list Abraham Lincoln as his political hero in the New York Times 18 Questions video series. And what they did with that was every candidate who named Lincoln dropped a point for lack of creativity. That's kind of mean. Well, Lincoln, you know, first of all, he was a Republican, and we've talked about not a Mike Pence Republican type. He's a Democrat by today's standards. But, I mean, Lincoln, I mean... Who doesn't have Lincoln as a hero? I don't understand. Creative is fine, but Lincoln's a good answer. What's the other answer, for goodness sakes? I don't know, you know.
Talking about that, the House Republican leader, who could be Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, in reaction to what Trump has done, said that we're the party of Lincoln. I wanted to throw up. I said, you're the party of Lincoln? The party
so I don't, I mean, not creative,
no,
but what else do you say? I mean, you know, I don't know. That was kind of mean, but okay. Number 19, former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
He gets elected easy, but nobody likes him.
so that's where he sits. And we have
how he does it.
Also from a mountain state, but a more populous mountain state, and one of the greatest names of a candidate. Maybe not as good as Pete Buttigieg, but pretty close. We have, of course, John Hickenlooper. What a good name. Governor Hickenlooper.
I've told people. Hick or Loop.
So modest name recognition. I would say very, very good name comedy. Due to his kind of funny name, but modest name recognition. Colorado is one of the most populous of the mountain states and well-known for its marijuana laws and songs about Colorado by John Denver and other people. So I think he is from a more recognizable area, but we don't see him as really being a very serious candidate. Number 17, biased opinion, I do kind of like the guy, but his chances aren't too good. And that, of course, is Ohio Representative Tim Ryan. Not a bad guy. He's pro-labor.
Tim Ryan's a very moderate guy. I think he's actually one of the better people who are not well-known. I do agree. And he's from Ohio, which is still a crucial state for the Electoral College. Yes.
Yeah, so not a bad guy, but I wish he had, again, like Inslee, like Seth Moulton, I wish he had a better chance, but I don't think it's going to happen. And another interesting candidate, someone, you know, in some ways like our current president, and of course you know who that would be, Ron businessman Tom Steyer, age 62. He made billions of dollars in hedge fund management. He's a rich gentleman who has pledged to spend $100 million of his own money on the presidential race. He just entered on July
9th. I'm concerned he's going to run as an independent. He can join Howard Schultz in that. I'm worried about that. That could really affect the election.
Not sure about this guy, but I wish I had his bank account. Back to the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado, Senator Mike Bennett, or is it Benet? You would probably know. Mike Bennett.
He's Jewish also. Bennett is Jewish, one of the two, along with Sanders. Yes.
He's been in the Senate for 10 years, has the distinction of being the least recognized and worst polling individual with any political experience in the 2020 field. So I don't think his chances are very good. And now we get to one
he's
of your favorites.
But he's not as noticeable as the others, no.
One of your favorites, Ron, dark horse at number 14. Again, this is a recent article from BusinessInsider.com about the Democratic contenders with the best chance of being on the ballot for the 2020 general election in November of 2020. We have Marianne Williamson, a motivational speaker.
Well, she's interesting, but I don't think she's going anywhere. You know, she's more of a person who promotes good feelings, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think she's going anywhere, but I'm surprised she's above those others.
Yeah, motivational speaker and New Age spiritual guru. I'm not sure about her. And we have at 13.
She's also Jewish, by the way, I found. So it's actually three people. I'm just saying three people were Jewish, but I didn't think that name sounded Jewish, but you can't go by names all the time, yeah.
Number 13, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. What do you think?
Gillibrand, yeah. She is the least of the major women senators as far as taking off. She really hasn't inspired much. You know, I don't think she's going to go very far. But she's better known, of course, than some of the others, yeah.
And number 12, someone I'm not a fan of, and I think his popularity is waning, and that, of course, is Mr. Beto O'Rourke, former Texas representative, who almost beat
he's got
Mr.
to deal
Cruz.
With Julian Castro, who had an effect on him in the last debate, and they're in the same debate again, because, you know, there's two Texans, so they outdo each other. But I think Beto has probably fizzled out, yes.
And you can tell how disappointed I am. Another controversial one, Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard. Some serious viability problems among Democrats. And again, a bit controversial with some of her remarks. And again, being from Hawaii, I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. We've already heard from Alaska. Now we have Hawaii. What do you think?
Yeah, I've had some people on my blog who love her and Sanders say they're the only two acceptable people. I gather she's pretty far left, apparently, but she's nice to look at, but I cannot imagine her going anywhere, no. And she's also would be one of the people younger than Kennedy or Teddy Roosevelt. She would be only 39, a little older than Pete, but still 39, not yet 40.
We're speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor about the assortment of Democratic challengers expected to be on the ballot, which have the best chances, which of them should pack their bags and go back to their home state, and which of them are, you know, possible improvers as time goes on, and which of them do we think will actually be victorious. So let's get to the top 10. We have Andrew Yang. Now, he's a gentleman who talked about paying a stipend to all Americans, and I think that that's ridiculous. Just take the stipend.
$1,000 a month. I think for everybody over 18, though, not children. I think for people over 18.
And that has to be one of the stupidest.
You must say that Richard Nixon proposed $500 a month 50 years ago as a basic payment. He actually did propose it. Never went anywhere when he was president, but he did propose that. And, of course, now you could say inflated, it's $1,000.
Yeah, well, let's pay down the debt first and other things we need to do. Instead of just paying a stipend, goodness sakes, get off your you-know-what and work for a living, or get disability or retirement if you have a legitimate reason to receive those payments. I don't like the stipend idea. I know other countries do it, but our government is different. So, you know, Yang, he is smart. It would be nice to have an Asian in office. I'd like to see more minorities, more of a reflection of the diversity in this country, but not this particular gentleman. He does have a bunch of online supporters and meme creators called the Yang Gang. Of course, I love rhymes and puns and alliteration. So the Yang Gang is kind of funny. Helped him raise $1.7 million in just 7 weeks, almost entirely from small donations.
The fact that he's never held public office, though, and he's that high on a list is amazing, really.
Yeah, he's an intriguing candidate, but I'm not sure about him. Number 9, one of my favorites that I've talked about earlier, and that, of course, would be Mr. Inslee. Again, obsessed with climate change, but, again, it's important. Again, his viewpoints in general about the importance of science I really like. He's smart, well-spoken. He's a gentleman, and he's very smart. And Mike Purdy has met him and definitely gives the guy a thumbs up, being a native of the great state of Washington. But
yeah, I must say, if you're going to use age as an issue, he's the oldest candidate other than Biden and Sanders and Warren, and I guess if you count Mike Gravel, he would be nearly 70, almost the same exact age that Ronald Reagan was, a few weeks short of 70 when he took the oath. So that could be an issue to some people. He's one of the oldest of the candidates, yes.
I would say he looks young. I didn't think he was that old. Even on TV, I saw him. He seems younger.
He's a little older than Hickenlooper, who's close to that.
Yeah,
he's like a year younger or something. I was surprised, but yeah.
Yeah, he seems younger. Yeah, I mean, we look at people's appearance and how they present themselves and versus their actual age, and that is part of it. You know, there's a young 70 and an old 70. You know, Ron, we're not going to mention your age, but I can assure you, you come across as 20 or more years younger than you actually are. So, you know, age is a number, but I mean, carrying yourself and how you look, and that's important also. We get to a moderate Democrat, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, with her nice little short hairstyle, you know, not bad looking at all. He's a good.
He's number eight,
good
right?
Presence too. Yes, number eight. And
I like Amy. I like Amy a lot.
Yeah, a moderate, not extreme left.
In Minnesota, Midwest.
Yeah. Not the extreme left that we see with Harris and with Warren. So a good mainstream candidate. We shall see how she does.
And the Hubert Humphrey, Walter Mondale, Eugene McCarthy tradition of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. Yes.
And she could be a good VP candidate, hopefully doing better than Mondale. Of course, he won.
We might ask her to be nicer to his staff, though.
I mean, he won as vice president, but when he tried to run for president, didn't happen. But I did like the guy, one of my favorite figures.
Yeah, but I'm saying with her, the only negative that I see, other than being to some people too moderate, is that she apparently gets pretty angry with her staff because she's a perfectionist. So that could be a character issue to some people, I guess.
Well, we shall see. I'm sure there will be plenty of rumors flying and people talking about it and fake news and editorials and all that good stuff. Number seven, one of my least favorite people, and that, of course, is Mr. Booker. And I'm really kind of surprised he's that high because he's very divisive, and I don't think he's going to happen.
I don't really see him going very far either, honestly. He hasn't done that well in polls. I don't know what poll this is, but overall he's not rated that high.
Yeah. He's not a likable guy, and he's very fake, not to mention his viewpoints. I think I made it pretty clear I'm not a fan. Number six, I did like until his comments about Nike, and that greatly changed my opinion. He's young and good-looking and very smart, but I don't think he's going to happen. That, of course, is Mr. Castro.
Castro, and he's also the only Latino in a country with one out of every six people being Hispanic. So I think that gives him a better shot, and he would be younger than any president other than Kennedy and T.R., not counting Pete or the woman from Hawaii. But other than that, he would be 46, younger than Bill Clinton. But, yeah, I know you don't like him, but I still am rooting for him.
He needs to watch what he has to say, as he has alienated people, people like myself especially, who would support him. He was very impressive at the debate. And if he says that as a candidate, what's he going to say as president? We see Donald Trump. What does he say as president? I don't know about
he's not related to Fidel Castro, everybody listening. He's not Cuban. Mexican-American.
Castro is a very, very common name. So, I wouldn't expect that. Number five, someone else who, again, is intelligent, well-spoken, not bad-looking at all, but has said one thing in particular which will cause me never to vote for her, and you know who that is. Ron, what are your opinions about the lovely Ms. Harris? Number five.
I'm very open-minded on her still. I know you're not. I like looking at her, and I think she has quite an interesting record as a prosecutor. In fact, some people on the right have attacked her for her tough angle on crime when she was in California. So I think she has enemies on both sides, in a way.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I like her. I'm going to vote for whoever the Democrat is anyway. I would not vote for Trump. So, but I wouldn't necessarily say she's my favorite, no.
So you're one of those vote blue no matter who people.
Well, when I look at the alternatives, there's no choice. If it was like a John Kasich, I'd think about it, you know. Or even a Jeb Bush. Imagine me saying that.
You said Jeb Bush is okay. He's very good with hurricanes. That's very important. I want to discount that. It's very important in Florida. I mean, we talk about weather and climate change at Inslee. You've complimented him on his dealing with hurricanes.
Yes, he's all right. It's just I prefer not to have another Bush. But after Trump, I would have wished Jeb had been the president.
He's a moderate like the other Bushes. I mean, a smart man, a gentleman. I would have no problem with Bush, and who knows, maybe he'll come out.
Of course, Kasich is not running, but I still would like, I would consider Kasich, but I can't vote for Trump.
Oh my God. I would walk across the city to cast my vote for Kasich, believe me. Moderate, that's, you know, where I am. I'm a fiscal conservative.
You don't have to walk very far. Yes. Well,
so now let's get to the rest.
One of the remaining ones.
The rest of the top five. We've saved the suspense for the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show. So we are counting down, I think, 26 the 26 Democratic contenders from an article recently published from BusinessInsider.com, and seeing how they rank these people, their best chance of being the nominee against Trump.
So Castro's number five, you said, right?
Yeah. Well, no,
Harris is number five.
Okay, right.
Okay. And Castro's number six. Okay.
Assuming Trump is the Republican contender, that's not definite yet, but...
it's pretty definite.
So now we get to number four. Who do you think is number four, Ron?
The clue
is hair. Either messy hair or hair sniffer. Which one do you think it is? Messy hair or hair sniffer, number four?
Well, I would hope it's Sanders is number four, right. Not number one.
Right. It is messy hair at number four. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, considered the top... The top rival of Biden.
I just realized you're putting Pete in the top three. Not you. The article's putting Pete in the top three. Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
I realize you haven't mentioned him yet.
Obviously, Warren, Pete, and Joe Biden are the rest of the list. So 37% of people think Sanders would beat Trump in a general election, compared to 10% who think that he would lose.
Yeah, but I want to ask you, with Pete, Joe, and Warren, what's the order of the three? I didn't get it clear. Who's 3, 2, and 1?
We haven't gotten to that yet. I'm just telling you.
I thought you were going to. Okay, yeah.
What do you think the order is? Again, Warren, Biden, Pete, what do you think the order is 3-1, according to this article?
Probably Pete 3, Elizabeth 2, and Joe 1, I would guess, is the way the article would say.
Well,
I'd be surprised if it's anything else.
Well, you'll be surprised then. Number 3 is Senator, Pocahontas herself, Senator Elizabeth Warren.
She's number three?
Yep, she is number three. Warren,
Pete and Joe are the top two?
Would appear to be it, yes. So again, Elizabeth Warren.
Wow, what order? I guess Joe is first and Pete is second.
Now, Pete has done a lot of fundraising. He's got a very good base of support. I mean, he's an unusual candidate. He's a mayor, not a tremendous city, a medium-sized city, known probably more for its college than...
Notre Dame, yeah.
Although Notre Dame, again, is technically in Notre Dame, Indiana, but it certainly feeds off of South Bend. And, you know, an Indiana person, very different politics from the former governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, who is, of course, now the vice president. So Pete Buttigieg, number two, he certainly has increased his ranking of late, but... The article does say his numbers have slightly dipped in morning consults polling. Another poll. You know, there's 101 polls out there.
He also has no black support, and blacks are one-third of the primary votes in the upcoming election. So he needs to get some black support, or he cannot be the nominee. I don't think he could be.
So, I mean, there are probably more polls, Ron, than candidates, but morning consult, they weighed in.
Wow.
BusinessInsider.com moved Pete up 3 spots up to second place. The week of July 19th,
I got to say,
due to raising the most money out of all the candidates in the second quarter, almost 25 million smackaroonies.
Hmm. Well, he'd be 39 and Joe would be 78, so they'd be exactly twice the age would be Joe over Pete. Exactly. How's that?
That would certainly be interesting. Again, diverse bunch here. We have a candidate who's in his 30s and a candidate who's pushing 90.
Yeah. Well, 80, that's 90.
Well, 88.
Oh, except for Gravel, yes.
Yeah,
Gravel, yeah.
So, yeah, quite a mixture of people here. And number one, of course, our favorite sniffer of hair, Mr. Joe Biden, recent vice president, Delaware senator, and all around moderate, which I like. I would gladly have him as vice president, as president. He was a good vice president. Again, as you know, I wish he was president and Obama was vice president. We've already kind of talked about that.
Well, I tell you honest truth, in 08, before the election, I was wishing Joe could have been the nominee, but he wasn't,
But that's okay. Maybe this will be his chance. Again, a good mainstream candidate, a moderate Democrat, certainly doesn't have the open borders or socialism philosophy of people like Harris and some others, which, I'm not... Like, I find that to be very dangerous.
Yeah, that article I have not seen, so I'll ask you to please send it to me so I can read it myself.
I will do that.
I was not aware of it. Yeah, that's why I didn't know what you were going to say.
Yeah,
it's interesting hour.
Well, it's better to surprise you. It's more fun that way. But anyway, yes, Ron, Biden, you know, kind of up and down, but he's the mainstream. He's well-known. He's not going to upset people like some of the other candidates because he is moderate, and he certainly is experienced. And we do like his wife.
Actually, foreign affairs. Yeah. That's the thing that really has to be emphasized. Foreign. He knows all the foreign leaders, as he said.
Yeah, yeah. We like his wife, Dr. Jill Biden.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. So that the first lady. We don't vote for the first lady, but there's some importance. You do kind of look at the family, and I think she'd be a great first lady. She was a good second lady, and we'll see. Biden versus Trump. What would be the outcome? It will certainly be good
I'd like to hope that Biden would win, my gosh, but you can never be sure of anything.
It'll be good for the bank accounts.
And talk about my last few entries that we didn't get to today, you know. Yeah.
All the media outlets that sell advertising, it will be very good for their bank accounts. There'll be lots of ads, lots of mudslinging.
Yes.
And it'll be an interesting election. It already has been an interesting election, and it's going to get interestinger, if that's a word. I don't think it is. But, Ron, thank you very much for joining us again. Great show.
Thank you so much. I had a great time. Yeah.
Didn't do American Top 40. We did Democratic Top 26. Talked about your blog entries, the weather, and anything and everything else. Have a great rest of your Monday. We will talk to you again soon.
Thanks again.